Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay with the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-host Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So we welcome all of our listeners from all over the world, and welcome, Misty. How are you?
I'm doing great. Bonnie, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. You know, I had a virus for weeks, and it went away, so I'm just happy to feel good.
Yes,
and I know. Happy it's springtime, and happy I'm not living in Florida like you.
Well, I've had a week of some illness, too, but it's looking up, so that's much better.
Good. Is it hot down there yet?
It has been very hot. Oh, yes, it was very hot today. Of course it was hot. Crazy hot. You know it was.
Better you than me. But
now
we're
going to...
And we're very lucky we have a guest who's in another part of the country where it's usually very cold. And we'd like to welcome our guest, Erin, tonight. Hi, Erin.
Hello, everyone.
Is it cold in Alaska right now?
You know what? We're buried under a tremendous amount of snow. It was about 20 degrees this morning, and it's warming up. I think it's probably in the mid-40s right now as I look outside. It's beautiful, clear, but cold. And, I would prefer to be on a sandy beach somewhere, I can tell you that.
You can go join Misty. She'll be happy to have
yeah.
you in Florida. So, Erin, thank you so much for being our guest. You know, I had the opportunity to meet you after, you know, corresponding with you for several years. And I was so excited when I got to Texas and you were able to come. And all of our women who were there were just so impressed with you. So maybe you could tell people who are listening a little bit about you and your story.
Sure. Absolutely. My name is Erin, as you've said. Born and raised in Alaska. I live in Alaska. I'm 45 years old. I have two beautiful daughters who are 14 and 9. I was married for 16 years. I was with my gay ex-husband for 18 years. I married him. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Did someone say?
No.
Oh, okay. I was married at 26. I wasn't shy. I wasn't introverted. I was extroverted. I had plenty of experiences with other men in my life. And, you know, that's one of the things that I kind of wanted to speak about today is I know that there's a number of us women that are out there that did have experiences prior to our husband, even though we do find that there are a lot of men out there that look for somebody that has less experience. But I do believe that it affects us women that have been with other men in a different way. And, you know, that's kind of what I wanted to speak about today. And so, Bonnie, I don't know if you want to stop or if you want me to...
No, I think it's great because I often speak about that, Erin, in the sense that, you know, I was someone who was also really sexually experienced at the time I met my gay husband.
Right.
And, you know, I don't brag about it. I'm not proud about it. It's just the facts. Plus, you know, I had a couple marriages, I guess, before him. So I also had, you know, sexual experiences, and a number of women have. So I think it's really important to address that.
Well, I do. And the reason that I bring it up is because I truly believe it affects us in a different way. Because
mm-hmm.
once you've had an intimate sexual relationship with a straight man, you truly, there's a complete and total difference with that and being with a gay man. Now, I know that there's a number of women out there that believe that they had, you know, wonderful, or that they did, not that they believe, but they did maybe have great sexual experiences with their gay husband. But I think that the majority of us women out there were completely and totally disappointed in our sexual experiences. And it's not just the sex, because I think that we have to step back and we have to take a look at the relationship in total. And
mm-hmm.
I can say that there were times when I had good sex with my gay ex-husband. What I will shout from the rooftops and scream to anybody that will listen to me is that I never had that intimacy that I needed. And sex is sex, and sex is an act. And as women, truly great sex happens in our mind before it happens in our bodies. And my mind and my relationship in my mind with my gay ex-husband was always missing. The intimacy, that level of, there was always something that was off from it. And there was always something that was off from it from the very beginning, from the very first time I ever had sex with my gay ex-husband. You know, it was just a completely and totally different experience to me. It made me shake my head. It made me question myself a little bit. It made me look and like, oh, well, this is not what I, this is not what I've experienced in the past. This is not what I want for my future. But something kept me in this relationship. And what kept me in it was he was kind and he was intelligent and I liked his family and I liked his career aspirations. I liked the friendship that we had. There were so many wonderful qualities in him. And I told myself that because I was a very sexual person, and I do believe I was probably more, I was more sexual than him, and I thought, well, maybe I can temper some of my sexuality and bring myself down to be able to be in a relationship with him because that's what would be best for our future.
Let me ask you questions before you go on, Erin.
Sure.
How old were you when you met him?
I was 24.
Okay, so you were still young, you know, much like I was also.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, our expectations at that point of time are, like you say, you have to kind of weigh and measure all the positive things against the one little thing that's missing. And I think
Right.
that in our hearts we really think that is, you know, time will go on, things will get better with that. But what really happens is like what happened with me and happened to you, is that after a while it doesn't get better. The difference is that, you know, you had a best friend and a caring relationship and a good family relationship. So that kind of outbalanced, you know, the little sex issues. But, you know, I think that from the beginning, like you were saying that you had some good sex, and I think when you're younger you can have good sex, but did you always feel it was kind of different than other sex you had had?
Oh, it absolutely was. And it was much more. It was much more work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was. It was. It all. It always. At the end of it, it always made me question myself a little bit. And to be honest, I'd never really questioned my. Well, you know, early on, you question yourself a little bit. But you know, being in college and being. I didn't really question myself as much as I did once I was in the relationship with my ex. And
mm-hmm.
and it was little things. It was how he didn't want me to touch his hair or mess it up. It was how there was no passion surrounding it prior to actually getting intimate. You know, he would fold his clothes, he would put them away, he would brush his teeth and take a shower and get himself all clean. There wasn't that passion. There wasn't that wantonness
or just, you know.
There wasn't that.
It was like planned out and something that was going to be happening.
Yeah, it was so planned. It was so meticulous. It was something that it felt like he needed to work himself up to get into. I have a lovely group of girlfriends that I've had for a long time, and, you know, girlfriends come and girlfriends go, but I really have a great core sense of women that are supportive, that are strong around me, that I've always had. And my girlfriends would always tease me about what a wonderful wife I had because my husband would clean and he would cook and he would do the laundry and he was meticulous and everything was in its spot. And they didn't understand how much I complained that I wasn't getting that intimacy and sex because the other girlfriends that I knew had husbands, and that's all they wanted. They wanted a lot of sex, and they didn't cook, and they didn't clean, and they didn't pick up after themselves. And so I had all these girlfriends that couldn't understand what I was going through, and they thought that I was just the luckiest thing in the world because I had this wonderful wife. And, you know, I would love to have somebody in my life one that was a partner, but I don't mind picking up some dirty socks, and I don't mind cooking in the kitchen because I really love that, and I don't mind getting dirty and getting some fun sex and intimacy. You know, to me, I would give up some of those things to have what they had. And what they had is they had a man that wanted them, and they had a man that desired them, and they had a man that made them feel like a woman. So I'm in this home, and I really don't have a place in this home because I have a husband that acts more like a wife than a husband. So where is my role in the home? And I lost myself in this relationship. And what happened with me is I went outside the relationship to find other men that wanted me for that. And it didn't make me feel very good about the wife I was or the woman that I was. You know, I had made a commitment in my marriage. I wanted to be strong in that marriage. I wanted to do that. I felt weak when I went out and I stepped out on my husband. You know, we were both unfaithful in our relationships. And it finally took me, I turned 40, and this is kind of my story, is that I found out when I was 4 months pregnant with my second daughter that a man that he had introduced me to as a work friend and who spent the summer with us, whenever we would go out, he would tag along with us, was really his lover. And the reason that I was introduced to him was that so when we all went out, they could spend time together. And so it was Christmas time. I was 4 months pregnant with my second daughter. The man finally told me, you know what, I've come to know you. I really like you. You need to know the truth. I look back at that now, and, you know, I know this man pretty well, and he had actually fallen in love with my husband, and I truly believe that he was telling me because he thought that I would go away, and then they could be together.
Absolutely. He wasn't trying to do it for your own good.
No, I don't believe so. I don't believe so now looking back. You know, I told myself that because I'm kind of one of those people that always want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt, and I do believe that people are born good and not born bad, and that was maybe just a little bit easier to take. But I stayed in my relationship for, 5-6 years before I left, and it took me turning 40, it took me deciding that I don't want a relationship that we sit on opposite ends of the couch. I have two beautiful young daughters, and I don't want my daughters to believe that this is what a marriage is. I want them to grow up in a healthy and passionate and intimate and know that it's okay to sit on the couch and make out with your husband and you know, not in a bad way, but always, you know, that you walk in the door and the first thing that you want to do is hug and kiss and you don't want to let go for, you know.
At least 10 seconds, right?
And,
I think what you said brought up another really good point because in my chat room tonight we were discussing about infidelity during marriage. I say that if you have to go out and have an affair with another man because you can't, you know, be fulfilled at home, there's something wrong with that whole thinking. To me, it's like taking medication to stay in your marriage. There's something wrong with that whole thinking.
Yeah.
You have to numb yourself so you don't have to think about how bad your marriage is. And the same thing, if you have to go outside your marriage because you can't find any fulfillment at home, that has to be like a flag waving in your face saying there is a problem here and you need to resolve it. Don't you think so?
Absolutely. And I do. I knew that what I was doing by having relationships outside of my marriage was keeping me in my marriage because it was keeping me just the teeniest, tiny bit sexually fulfilled and feeling like I was wanted as a woman. But it was keeping me in that environment. So I actually had to devise a plan so I would not sleep with any other man outside my marriage. And I did that, and this is funny. Hopefully I'm not offending anybody. It might be funny for some, might not be funny for the others. But me and my girlfriends, and my girlfriends, the majority of my girlfriends knew all about this, and they were there supporting me, and it was prior to Christmas time, and I'll say this to everyone, I grew out all of my hair everywhere. I stopped shaving anywhere, and my girlfriends will say I grew my very own chia pet, and that was my way of whenever I would go out with my girlfriends not wanting to be intimate with a man because I'd gone French and we weren't in France. And it worked for a period of 6 months. I was, you know, I wasn't with anybody else. I got the courage. I finally got the strength to say I want to separate and I don't. And that was right before Thanksgiving. Within 2 days, he had found another woman to date. And he was seriously dating her when I left our home. Actually, I left our home with my daughters in tow, moved into an apartment without any furniture in it, and he moved us out that day, all of us, within 4 hours and had a date that night with this other woman. Then 2.5 weeks, he had already introduced the new woman to the girls. And within 2 months, he had told me to my face, now that he was with this younger, prettier, more successful woman who liked his politics and liked his music, he no longer had the desires to do the things he did when he was with me. And
Erin, because maybe you can get her story on how I made my husband un-gay.
Yeah.
Probably make a lot of money from that.
Yeah, wouldn't that be well?
I mean, she's able to cure him. I mean, I know that we've learned how to turn our husbands gay, but I don't think we ever learned the trick on how to turn him back. But this woman obviously has the answer, right?
Well, unfortunately, she doesn't. You know, last month I actually met her in person for the first time. And she found out the same way that, you know, similar to I found out. She found him on a phone doing things with transgendered people, and she took him back into her life for a second time and forgave him. After Jeff told me about her and about how he no longer had the desires to do what he did, I went into our home and I made complete copies of our computers. And what I found, and I'm one of the women in Bonnie's book of The Straight Wives, Shattered Lives, Volume 2, and I say in that book that that I found him doing the exact same things, and that the new girlfriend was no better than I was after 6 months of keeping him from having those same desires, And there was a piece of me that was so
relieved.
Happy and relieved to have found that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a piece of me that thought, what if it really was me? You know, what if, you know, yeah. And I just, and in the book I say, and the new girlfriend was no better after 6 months of keeping him from doing the things he did when he was with me. There were all the downloaded gay porn pictures, time-stamped and dated, past and present. There were the passwords in the login to gay.com, Yahoo Personal, and more. I found, you know, I found memory chips in his computer bag of pictures that he had taken of himself. He was exchanging stuff on Yahoo and gay.com. And I said after finding these images, I was actually happy. He was a good enough con. He almost made me believe I had made my husband gay. Unless you have been in my shoes, you cannot imagine the pain this thought might cause and the relief finding out it was not me provided. And I think that there's a lot of us that are out there listening today that may be in that same spot that are still questioning, was it something that we did? And is there any way, was it something that we did? Is it something about us? And it's never been about us. And I look at all the women that I've met, not only through you, Bonnie, but the women that I've met here in Anchorage, The woman that lives across the street from me, amazing, beautiful, wonderful woman, and she's in the same situation. Another professional, independent woman that I've come to know and had some similar qualities or personality traits that I did, found out this about her. Many of us out there that are that have been so damaged by this, but that are moving forward. You know, I will say after coming to your conference in Houston that I walked away feeling like I was really far in my recovery in this process. And somebody had said, you know, it takes 1 year for every 5 years that you're married to actually recover from this. And I don't want to put a number out there. If there's other people that are out there that feel that they're farther in their recovery and they've been married longer, then more power to you. So don't have me say that you're not recovered if after a year and you've been married 20, that you're feeling good. So,
Well, I think a lot of it is that there's so much residual damage, Erin,
yeah,
that you don't realize in the beginning because, you know, people think, well, a year later, I'm in a better place. Well, you are in a better place, but if you don't deal with so many of these issues, because a lot of times you just keep moving along,
right,
then they do pop up because there is the scarring, new relationships start, and a lot of these feelings and the insecurities come back. I know it was a major issue for me when I met, you know, the man who's my soulmate now for 18 years, that in those early years, like the first 10 of them, I mean, I really had some severe trust issues because of my own marriage.
Right.
So I think that, you know, the lack of communication when you're married to a gay man, there's so many different things, you know, questioning yourself, you're feeling good about yourself. And Erin, I did mention this last week on the show, so I hope you don't mind, that, you know, Erin is one of those women that, you know, you think your whole life, if I could look like somebody, who would it be? And I would have picked you, Erin. I mean, you are beautiful. I mean, you could model. You are smart. You have the best personality. And you're the kind of woman that people would think, man, she has it all. She should be getting everything out of life that she deserves. But as you and I have talked about, you know, it's not. It has nothing to do with what you look like on the outside, does it?
Well, not at all. It has so much to do with how you feel about yourself on the inside. And it was kind of funny because I was reading this article, and this was an article from a man, and this was a man who was trying to sell a book to women to talk to them about how to deal with men. And what he was saying is that, have you ever noticed that there's some of those women that are out there, and they're not the most beautiful women, and they're not necessarily the smartest women that are out there, but they're the women that somehow know how to attract and hold men. And we've all seen these women out there. And what I will say is that you will find in all these women is that they have a very, very strong and very, very powerful self-esteem. And what the man might say is that they know how to read men and they know how to play the game and act with men. And I will say, I don't think that's the key. What I will say is the key is this natural self-confidence. And I've always said confidence is better than makeup. You know, I'm writing an e-book on it right now about, you know, the ability to walk into a room. And I have this trick that I tell a lot of my friends that are shy, because a lot of my friends, I'll say, well, let's go out and we're going to go to this place and so. And they'll sit in their cars and they'll wait for me to get to the restaurant before they want to walk in by themselves, because they're not comfortable walking into the place by themselves, because they're not secure enough in themselves or comfortable enough that they want to walk in and be by themselves in that room. And I really push them, and I really say, you know what? That what I tell them is that every time you walk into a room, you think this thought, I know something you don't know. And this is not a negative thought. This is just a positive thought. This kind of gives you a smirk on your face. This gives you this mysterious intrigue. And men do it, too. And I tell the guys because I've got a lot of guy friends that have insecurity and issues as well, and this is our funny line, and we say, actually, it should be a book. I know something you don't know. And
maybe that's a good title for your ebook, Erin.
Yeah, there we go. I know something you don't know. And you know what? It really is that. If you to walk into the room and just have that confidence to walk into a place and hold your head high, and even if you don't believe it, every day wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and tell yourself all the positive things. Tell yourself more than you actually believe, and at some point you will start believing it. You really have to push it out there.
Erin, don't you feel part of this is because of the fact that for so many years, for so many of our women, their confidence has been stripped away? So even if they have wonderful things about them, they've stopped believing it.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the women in Houston actually, and this was something that was really heartfelt to me, and it really hurt me deeply, and she said, and she was a beautiful woman and beautiful from the inside out, you know. You could tell she went out of her way to take care of other people and kind and generous, and you could just see it, and you could hear it in her voice, and you can see it in her thoughtful efforts to create these beautiful little gift bags for all of us, to go out of her way to print out these wonderful color, you know, phrases of things that helped her because she wanted to help us. And the one comment that she made is that in her life, the only person that she ever felt was attracted to her turned out to be her gay ex-husband. And I looked at, and that just hurt because I knew absolutely freaking not was the one person that was ever attracted to her in her life, her gay ex-husband. Because I can tell you, all of us women were, we might not be gay, we're not gay, but we were very much attracted to her. And I can tell you there were many, many, many men along her career, along her life that were very attracted to her. But she didn't have that self-confidence in herself that she allowed herself to see that attraction. And I do believe that. And I do believe that the more insecure that we are with ourselves, the less that we put ourselves out there to gain the attraction of other people or even to accept the attraction of other people. And she and I had an email conversation, and I said to her, please, just try this. Every time you walk into a room, tell yourself, I know something you don't know. Every time you look in a mirror, do this for 60 days. Do this for 30 days. And, you know, this has just been a short time. I don't know if she's doing this yet. I haven't talked to her, but I would guarantee, you know, 99% if she's doing this on a daily basis and she's talking about this and she's putting pictures in her head, that she has already seen a number of other people since our Houston meeting that are very attracted to her. And I truly hope that for her. So if you're out there listening, send me an email or send me a text and let me know it's working for you. And if it's not, you're not doing it every day.
I think a lot of it, Erin, I mean, after hearing your story, also, you grew up, you know, with a relatively happy childhood, correct?
Very happy. Yeah, I was raised by a single mom that was very much a hippie.
Mm-hmm.
Traveled all over the U.S., different parts of the world. I lived on a beach in Mexico. I lived in a commune in California. I had a very transient lifestyle, but I was very, very loved and very, very happy, and I was raised by this strong, independent, sexual, breaking all the boundaries woman. I wasn't raised with a father. You know, I do have father issues still to this day. But in terms of an upbringing, I was very, very loved. But I was very, very loved by a woman. I didn't have that male contact in my life.
Right. But I think, you know, the point that I wanted to bring up is as far as how people view themselves, a lot of the women who are part of our network, they not only had a bad marriage, but they had a bad upbringing.
Yeah.
Where they had dysfunction in their family or they had abuse, mental illness, you know, from the parent, alcoholism, drug abuse. And I think that, you know, if you come from such dysfunction, it takes a long time to, you know, then you walk into more dysfunction. It just takes a long time to really feel good about yourself. And the important thing to know is that you can feel better about yourself. But first you have to find out who you are. Because a lot of people have been living, you know, as a caretaker for either their families or for their husbands and their children. But they never took care of themselves, so they never really had a chance to identify what they're about or who they're about. So, by the way, your friend, I just got an email here. As I'm here, it says, I hear you, Erin. Thanks so much for your kindness and your support. I am still holding on to your advice. So that's a message
good.
For you. And by the way, while I have Erin on the phone, I just wanted to tell people if you would like to call in and you have any questions for Erin, please take down our number here because we welcome your feedback. And Erin would welcome any of the questions that you have. And she's at area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that number again. It's area code 646-716-4893. Erin, since you're being so honest and open, maybe you could discuss with people a little bit, you know, after your marriage, and, you know, as time went on, you did find another relationship for a period of time, correct?
Yeah, and this is one thing, you know, you read off the phone number twice, and I'm biting my tongue because I do want to bring up, you know, some more stuff. I did, 10 days after I separated from my husband, I started dating another man, and obviously 10 days after separating is way too short of a time, and this was a man
mm-hmm.
that, you know, came in and swept me off my feet, and I thought, oh, this is the most wonderful thing in the world, and, you know, I'm traveling all over, and I'm being taken care of, and I'm getting cars, and I'm, you know, it was just, I thought it was this wonderful thing, and it wasn't a wonderful thing, and it wasn't a healthy relationship. This was a person that I got involved in that didn't love me for me, wanted to completely and totally change me, wanted to actually did manipulate me into trying to be a different person than I was. And I'm very happy with my core sense of my core, you know, my independent streak and my social and having lots of friends and entertaining. And anyway, I was in that relationship for 2.5 years, and it was not a healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt, I will say this all throughout my marriage to my ex-husband, is that I acted out in ways and behaviors that don't make me very proud looking back at it right now, but I was so wanton for attention and the other man in my life that I was very promiscuous. I was over the top sexual and inappropriate at times because I was so missing so much, you know, and I'll slip back into those times. There are still times, and I know that there's a number of women out there that are just like me, and it is based upon having this relationship. And from my next door neighbor to my good friend Bella to even some, you know, women that I met in Houston, and it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with being sexual and having fun and being over the top. But when you're doing it to please somebody else and you're not doing it to please yourself, that's when it goes wrong. And that, you know, that's the one thing that I want to say. And I think that more of us women that have been sexually active prior to our relationships with our gay ex-husbands fall into this, whether it be with infidelity or whether it be with the inability to control our sexual desires. And maybe control is not the word, but to measure
I think we need the reassurance. You know, I think it's not so much about, you know, your promiscuous behavior as it is your constant need to prove to yourself that there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody is constantly sexually rejected and made to feel as if there's something wrong with them,
mm-hmm.
rather than, you know, the gay husband, taking responsibility for the lack of, you know, what's going on.
Right.
then you're always trying to prove to yourself that you're worthy of, you know, being loved, worthy of being, you know, having sexual relations with someone. So, yeah, I mean, I certainly, you know, had issues during my marriage also of going outside of it. But I just felt so depleted inside, and I felt so unwanted that I needed to be reassured that there was nothing wrong with me, even though I was constantly being told I'm a nymphomaniac, I'm a sex, you know, something sexually wrong with me, why do I want to have sex all the time? And I didn't want to have sex all the time. I just wanted to have normal sex.
Right.
So, yes, I think it's not unusual. You know, we have a lot of women who come through our network, and they feel guilty, and I always tell them, don't feel guilty. Because this is not your normal behavior, because you're living in an abnormal situation.
Right.
If you're living in the normal marriage, then you wouldn't have to have these issues. But because you're not, you feel this need to feel complete and whole, so you have to do what you have to do.
Right.
But I think in a normal situation, certainly you wouldn't be looking to go outside your relationship if your husband made you feel nurtured and helped you grow.
And I agree. I will say that we're never going to be normal after this, but we don't want to maybe be normal. This is nobody, I would never wish this experience on anybody,
mm-hmm.
but we have to look at this. You know, this is going to sound odd, but we have to look at this and somehow as this is a gift because this gives us the ability to help other people. There was a reason that we all went through this, and I'm not a religious person, but I'm a very spiritual person. I do believe that going through this experience gives me the ability to help so many other people in their lives. And
mm-hmm.
and it would be so much easier to be mad and angry all the time and not take it. I saw a lot of anger in our Houston conference. And I had a lot of empathy for that anger because I have had a lot of anger, and that's an okay transition to go through. I won't tell anybody they shouldn't be angry. There's a time for the anger, but then there's also a time to let go, and there's a time for the healing. And I will tell you, to those of you that are out there that are still in that angry, it feels so much better to get past that. Because here's the one thing, ladies, men, and men if you're out there too, because we've got a network of men. When you leave this relationship, you know, my ex-husband has decided to get married again and have kids, and he's doing the same thing to his current wife that he did to me. And, you know, and I look at him, and he's still in this paralyzing fear. And I can look at him and I can say, you know, I'm in such a better place. I may not have the money that I had when I was with you. I may not have the home that I had when I was with you. I may not have the power of, you know, a joint double income, not being a single mom, not worrying about the day-to-day bills. But you know what? I am happier. I am healthier. I am wealthier in mind, body, and spirit, and I am wiser than I ever have been when I was with you. The best thing that we ever did in our relationship was have our beautiful daughters. The second best thing I ever did in our relationship was leave your sorry ass, and you're still stuck in the same spot. And I am so much better than where I am because, ladies, we can get another house. You've lost money in your divorce, you can make it back. You earned it once, you can earn it back. Don't focus on what you lost. Focus on what you can gain back. They can't change who they are, especially the hidden ones. The hidden ones are there. They're suffering the same thing that they did with us. They are stuck, and we are moving forward.
And I think that's another thing that I'd like to bring up because, you know, as I tell our women, there's over 60% of gay men who will never tell their wives the truth. And I know this because I was involved in a survey that was done in England several years ago, and I helped promote it within our network for women to take the survey as well as for gay men to take it. And when all was said and done, I think there were 1,800 men or so that participated in it, and about 35% said yes, you know, they had told their wives. and about another 65% were either between, there's a possibility to, no, I will never tell my wife. And I think what women don't really understand about homosexuality, and I'm getting to understand it better and better every year, is that a lot of these men do not consider themselves gay. And as long as you stay married to them, they will never have to consider themselves gay. Because they look at themselves that they have a wife, they love their wife, they don't love them like a straight man would love them, but they're not looking at it that way because they don't want to identify as gay. So as long as you stay there in their homes, they're always going to feel, well, I'm not gay, even when they're having gay sex on the outside, or even when they're having, you know, just passing, you know, through without any kind of commitment or even know who they're with. But they're definitely wanting to have gay sex, or they're acting on having gay sex, and eventually most men will act on it while they're still in their marriages. But as long as we stay married to them, they don't have to say they're gay because in their heads they're not. So when women tell me that they can't get a confession, well, welcome to the world of 60% of the other women who are never going to get a confession. But like I told my women tonight, that if your husband wants to stay in the closet, that's on him. You don't have to be stuck in that closet with him. You know, he would love you to stay stuck there with him, but the fact remains that let him stay there, but you must move on. And I know that's really hard for a lot of women who can't get that, you know, miraculous confession or catch their husbands in bed with someone. But you have to go on your instincts. Wouldn't you say that?
Absolutely.
I mean, so many women will never get a confession. But I said, you know, straight women married to straight men don't go through this anguish of, you know, I'm unhappy, but how can I leave him? He's a nice guy. Now, was your ex-husband a nice guy?
He was until I separated and divorced him. I thought he
right,
was.
Right, but until then, you know, he was a good guy, right?
You know, I will actually say I miss the friendship that we have. You know, all
mm-hmm.
of his anger, all of his hostility towards me after the separation and the divorce had so much more to do that I was ruining his picture of his life, and he had to go out and he had to find another one. It was so easy to be married to me because I allowed him to do all the things that he did, and it was just easy. And now he had to go out and find another woman and start having sex with another woman, which is not truly what he wanted to do. And
well,
you know,
probably
he probably
didn't have to do it much, right?
Yeah, he had to go through all of it again. And at some point in our, we don't speak. We still have a hostile relationship, which is not healthy for our daughters. We actually speak through his 27-year-old wife now that he has,
and he has for now, but who knows how long she's going to want to stay, right?
Yeah, and there was just this really funny. She's very, and I'm not. I don't think poorly of this young woman. You know, I feel for this young woman. They just had a baby together, and she's very young, but she's very, very controlling in this relationship. And I have to giggle. I actually have to laugh, and I have this thing, and hopefully I don't offend any of you. There's a swear word in this, but it says, karma of fucking over a good girl is the bitch you end up with. And I love that. I just think it's the funniest thing ever because here's a young woman that spends more money than I ever spent, which was one of his issues, is more controlling than I've ever been. You know, I could go down the line, I could name it, but I have to giggle every time that I see her. She's made him give away his dog that we had together, and he actually had to give the dog away to me. He's gotten in a confrontation with me that she made him call up and apologize on the phone to me. She's actually controlling and manipulating his behavior probably much more than I've done. But I also know as a result of it, he's also much, 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 much more active in his homosexual lifestyle with this young woman than he was. So,
I mean, she can't control that. I mean, you know, she can be controlling on day-to-day, you know, life stuff, but when it comes to being gay, she's certainly not going to have any control over that. I hope, you know, that she'll realize that in time. Was there ever an issue about you being concerned about sexually transmitted diseases?
Yeah, you know, I quit having sex with him and I quit having sex with anybody else. I went through 18 months of AIDS testing and, you know, going to the doctor, making sure, you know, got on, you know, cried to the psychologist and cried to the doctor and went through, you know, went through different psychologists that to try to find something, somebody that could understand me. You know, I had one woman that I read a letter to, and she just wanted to have a pity party with me. And I'm like, I don't want somebody to have a pity party with me. You know, Bonnie, the thing I love about you is just give it to me raw. You're right. He is a freaking ass. You know what? I didn't want this psychologist to have to feel sorry for me and, oh, I'm so sorry. No, I wanted her to stand up, or I wanted him to stand up with me and say, you know what? Boy, you were really screwed over off of 18 years of your life. Wow. Now, how are we going to get you through this? Because I wanted somebody to validate me, and that's the one thing, Bonnie, that you've always done. You've always validated my anger, my pain, my pity, whatever I had, but you validated those feelings in such a way that no one else has ever had the ability to do so because they haven't been in it.
And I think that's another important point, is that no matter how sympathetic people are, no matter how much, you know, they can, you know, they can feel sorry for you, unless, you know, you really live through this, it's really hard to, you know, talk about that, because people don't really understand it. Unless, I really feel that way. I think just like they have people who counsel people who are drug addicts, or former addicts, because only they can understand what addiction feels like. I really believe unless you've gone through this specific experience, it's really difficult, you know, to be empathetic and to really understand it and feel it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your kind words.
You're very welcome.
You know what made me laugh most about all the stuff that, you know, we've talked about, you know, for the last few years. This is what the story I love the best is, you know, Erin sent me her pictures and the picture of her daughters, so I knew how beautiful she was, you know, before I even met her. And he told me the story about sitting on the counter naked. That's,
yeah,
like the story that stands out in my mind with you all the time. Maybe you could tell that to our listeners.
Well, what I would say is that my ex-husband and I started to date. We were both in relationships prior to this. We ended our relationship. We started relationships with each other. Within 6 months, we had moved in with each other. And we had this beautiful little home that was down on the corner, and both of us had just graduated from college, and he had gone off and gotten a job, and I had started an internship, and he would come home for lunch every day. He would leave at 11:45. This is Mr. Schedule, you know, and be there by 11:55, and I would sit naked on the kitchen countertop, just lie there, wanting him to take me for lunch, and he would come, and he could literally make a sandwich on my naked stomach, and I would beg and beg for him to take me for lunch, and he would say, yeah, I can't right now, you know, honey, I'm hungry, and I need to get back to work. But that was, you know, that was the one thing in our relationship that I would beg and beg for sex, and he would say, you know, honey, I'm not tired right now, but if I have sex with you, I'm going to be tired in the morning, and that's not going to be really good for my job. And it was just, I say the excuses that Jeff had for, you know, for not wanting sex were just, but again, you could picture me lying naked on the kitchen countertop, him making, you know, a ham and cheese sandwich with mustard and extra mayo, and, you know, I wanted a little mayo, but you know, I wanted it elsewhere. I didn't want it on my stomach, and I didn't want it in. Sorry.
Listen, Erin, I had a note from one of our listeners, Becca, who's part of our support network. She asked if you could repeat what you said about the karma.
Oh, yes. Okay.
All right. I hope you get a pencil ready so we can get this quote. Go ahead.
It says, karma of fucking over a good girl is the bitch you end up with. So basically it's saying you mess with a good girl, you're going to end up with something worse.
Yeah, well, hopefully that happens. Although I do feel, once again, these guys have their patterns, whether they're with women who they marry again as a cover or with their new boyfriends. A lot of times they're in the same situation. You know, they're usually not necessarily any better with the guys than they were with, you know, their women. You know, they are what they are. They're narcissists. They're going to continue to be narcissists. If they're controlling, they're going to continue to be controlling.
Yeah.
Do you think that, was your husband controlling in the marriage?
Well, yeah, he was controlling with how the house was kept and as much as he could with how the finances were spent.
Mm-hmm.
But for a large part of our, well, for the beginning part of our relationship, I actually made quite a bit more money than he did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had more control in the relationship. Now, I've always been a person that if I had money, I spent it on everybody else, you know, me. I was raised by a woman that was like that. There's something in me that I give more than I receive. It makes me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that had a role in our relationship, and as our relationship continued, you know, he started making more money. The choices that we made in the relationship, what we were going to do, you know, I had possibilities of getting promoted and moving into a VP position within our organization that I had. Chose not to because I chose to stay in Alaska and we would have to move out. So, you know, we made decisions in our marriage that he was going to be the, you know, more, not the sole breadwinner, but we were going to do everything to motivate his career, and we were going to keep me as I was doing. And, you know, and I look back today, and again, you can't look back. I know I would be in a completely different place. I know I'd be very high up within the organization that I would be rather than in the position that I am now. I don't know what that would have brought me, but I can say, you know, without a doubt, I wouldn't be in the place that I am here. But we can't look back.
No, but the fact is that you can look ahead, and I think that, you know, a few important things. First, that, you know, jumping into a relationship after you finish a marriage isn't the most healthy thing. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Absolutely. I do think that you have to give yourself time to heal. And I don't know what that time is. And I wouldn't want to say that I needed to stay single for 4 or 5 years after. Dating is fun. Dating can be fun.
Right, and I say you should date, and as I tell our women, practice, practice, practice till your soulmate comes along.
Yeah.
But not to jump and become so emotionally involved to get hurt all over again.
Right. I would say to those women that are out there, and, you know, I'll speak from experiences, if you're really, really that sexual of a person, you know, find yourself a good partygals.com and get yourself some really fun toys, because there's a lot of things that you can do with yourself. Make yourself happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, figure, you know, there's a lot of us women that are out there that don't really know what makes us happy. And we're thinking sexually even. And we think it's the man that really makes you happy. And you know what I can say? We can make ourselves feel as good or better than any man out there can. And until we figure that out for ourselves, no man is going to be able to help us figure it out. So what I would tell the women is date, 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 have some fun, get some free dinners, buy a couple dinners. You know, have a lot of fun, engage with people, do some speed dating, but hold off on the sex. And I really would say hold off on the sex with the men. Have a lot of sex with yourself. Hold off. You know,
I think you should become a party gal, you know, distributor there, Erin.
I can. I am going to tell you this one thing. This is one for all these women that have had kids or whatever you feel about yourself. Recently, in the last few months, I've bought this thing called the Kegel Master, and it's basically resistance training for your hoo-hoo. And anyway, it's for anybody that has any issues. If you jump on a trampoline and you think that you need to wear a Depends, or you sneeze, or you laugh a little giggle, and you pee a little bit, or what if you're not feeling confident down there, or maybe you don't even have great orgasms, or you don't remember the last time you had a really good orgasm. This thing, I think it was like $59 to $79. If you could afford it, this is the best new toy that I've ever had. And it's changing the way that I feel about my private parts in a way. I don't know. It's making me stronger, making me feel more independent, and it's...
It's fun, right?
And it's fun. Well, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I've got a new little
really
routine.
I'm really familiar with that. Yeah, I think it's great. You know, I think anything that makes you feel good and makes you feel better is great.
Yeah.
I did have a couple more comments that came in for you.
Okay.
One is, first of all, from Debbie, who is in Texas with us.
Yes.
And Debbie wanted to know, here's what she wrote. She said, "Erin, did you make your flight after that slow, crazy drive to the airport? It was great meeting you with that weekend."
It was wonderful to meet her, too.
Wasn't she a doll?
What's that?
I said, wasn't she a doll?
Yeah. Just, you know, when you said that, we had a long, crazy drive, like you said, and I came late to the conference, so I didn't get to hear everybody's story, and I heard her story, and, you know, every story that I hear, it's just, I shake my head right now, because I'm just like, the situations that we've been placed in these relationships, and the manipulation of these men, and how they're able to manipulate all these other people around us. You know, and sometimes including our own children. I mean, I know my children have been manipulated, and I know, you know, hers have been manipulated as well, and
She did send another follow-up note saying, "Erin is making me laugh."
Oh, okay.
Well, that was good. And Wendy has a note for you also.
Okay.
Wendy just sent a note saying, "I agree about moving on. Because of my upbringing, I had a lot of trouble getting angry. My angry ended up turning inward because it was not allowed to be expressed, which resulted in depression, which I still battle from time to time. It is so interesting that we all share the same emotions and deprivation, but it is manifest in so many different ways. The point is to move forward in whatever way works for you." So I just think, you know, Wendy's a hero to me, I have to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Wendy is the maker of all those Wendy's lists, which just, to me, articulate every single feeling we're going through. And Wendy's going to be back with us, you know, sometime in May, I believe, to go over, like, her new chart on how to move forward, which, you know, to me is just amazing that she has this kind of insight. It's such a gift. But
Bonnie,
can
I stop you just for a second, and I will
mm-hmm.
say, so many of us that are out there, and we have so many wonderful things to say. We've got so many wonderful tools to give all these other women. But there's at least 50% of us, or maybe more, maybe 80% of us, that we know all the right things to say to the other women. We know the lists that we can write. We can empower all these other women. But until we take our own advice, you know, sometimes we're too busy caring about other people and creating things for other people that we're not taking care of ourselves. And I truly see that in a lot of these women that are out there, that we're empowering all these people. And it's, you know, part of it is a codependency thing, because we really are trying to make other people feel good, to make our own selves feel good. And if we could just take some of the advice that we give all these other people and implement these tools that we're giving to these other people, how much happier we would be. And I see that in a lot of us.
Yes, but you know what? Where I disagree with you there, Erin, is that, you know, just from living a lot more years than you have, that sometimes, helping people does validate what you do. I know it's certainly done it for me.
Oh, and I'm not saying don't help people, because I love that we're going out and that we're helping people. I'm not saying
mm-hmm.
that. I'm saying that, you know, if we took 10 minutes of the time of the hour a day that we help people and we focused on us, how much happier would we be? 'Cause
I think that happens in time, though. I think that comes with experience. I think it comes with feeling that you're able to help other people.
Yeah.
And getting the feedback that you need to start feeling better about yourself. You know, it's easy to say just look within and see what you have, but a lot of times people can't see that within, and they have
yeah.
to find it without to find the confidence to see it. Because, you know, once again, you can tell people all you want that you're beautiful, you're this, you're smart, you're wonderful. But as you've said so many times, no matter what you say, that has to come from inside to the outside.
Yeah.
And first you have to really believe it inside. And I just think that we all have such different life experiences, and depending where you're starting out from and where you're going to, for some people that takes longer. And, you know, it's a matter of just trying to undo those years and unleashing all those years of damage that's been done. And I think, once again, like you said, the longer you've been in a marriage, the more the damage has been done. And depending on, you know, you had a happy childhood and a fulfilling childhood, so at least you had something to balance it out. But, you know, as true as what you're saying, that we should all spend time thinking about ourselves, sometimes women avoid that because they don't feel that, you know, it's going to really help. But I say however you get there, everybody has a different road and a different route and different thing they need. But for sure, everybody needs to feel good about, you know, herself. And whatever gets you to that point, I think, is really what the issue is. I know that, you know, everybody has different issues and how they deal with it. But the point is to deal with it, because some women don't deal with it at all. You know, they're just so stuck. They don't want to move anywhere. And, you know, what I've seen over the years is so many women who are really stuck in marriages where they can't move forward because they just feel like they can't because they don't deserve it, or they don't deserve to be happy. Where at least if you take the step where you're out of your marriage, you have a much better step of moving ahead. Do you feel that way too?
Absolutely. Like I said, I'm just, you know, the second best thing I've ever done in my life is finally leave him, because I was able, regardless of any kind of hurt or broken heart or bad relationship I've been in since that, I'm just in such a better place, such a better place.
And how do you feel about your own future?
Oh.
Optimistic?
Absolutely. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Like nobody's going to break your stride?
Oh, it may be broken, but it'll just make me stronger.
It may be tripped up, but probably not broken
yeah.
again, right?
Yeah. No, I don't. In every experience that I have, I just, you know, I'm a better mom. I'm a better friend. I'm just brighter. I'm a better daughter. I'm a different person than I was.
I think these marriages just have the tendency to change who we are and to make us into people who we weren't to start with. And I think it just takes away so much from us. Misty, do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Oftentimes when I work with women, that reminded me so much of what you just said. Of many of the women I work with, almost always during one part of the session, they'll say, you know, I question myself, who could I have been? Who would I have been without this? It does. It does, I think, alter who you are, but I also believe in the grand scheme of things. So with that, I use that as an opportunity to transcend into what you wish to be or who you want to be. So, you know, I try to get the women to get out of that stuckness. You know, it's beautiful to explore that. What would you have been without this? But also, it's beautiful to explore it in light of, okay, now I have more appreciation for who I'm becoming, and I will be that person. I can be that person. So it's an opportunity to reflect on who you could have been. It's also an opportunity to move on to who you can be. So it's a question that almost every woman goes through. You know, who would I have been?
And I think that's true. And I think, again, like Aaron's focusing on, okay, I don't know quite who I would have been, but now because of this, who can I be?
Mm-hmm.
What have I learned from this experience, right?
Exactly.
And that, you know, it's kind of like if you don't get all the nurturing and the loving that you deserve in life, it's just like any other kind of flower that grows or anything that becomes beautiful. You know, a lot of that is due to the positive messages you receive, either as children or as adults or in relationships. And if you don't get those messages from early on, or even if you do, I always say, what chance do women have who never had those messages? And yet I do see women who are able to go past that. But it is very difficult, and you have to really work on it. And you can't assume that just because you're out of a marriage now that everything's going to go wonderful, because that's not how life works. As I said, there's a lot of residual scarring. It's going to enter into your new relationships unless you learn how to work it through. And, you know, this experience, you know, will always be somewhere in your memory, either up front or in the back. But usually it never goes away because of all the turmoil that you have had to go through. And for those women who have been in these long-term relationships for years and years and years, you know, every year that goes by, a piece of your life is taken away. And, you know, just like gay men get really angry over the fact that they've been married, so they can't take back all those years that they lost being gay men. And, I mean, I understand that. But what about us and all the years that we spent married to a gay man and all that we lost in being married to a gay man? And we're never going to get that back either. So, I mean, you know, there is something to mourn there, and it's not just mourning the marriage. It's mourning all the years that you've lost that you could never get back. And I think that you need support during this time. That's why I think our support group is so important, whether you're a member of the, you know, chat room or listening to the radio shows or getting the newsletter, only because women need to feel connected and to see that other women have struggled through this. And, yes, they can move on and they can have fulfilling lives. That, you know, this overtakes you for a while, but it doesn't have to be your life. We recently heard last week on our chat room one of our members from 2 years ago who really felt she could never live again or have a life again or nothing will ever go right again. She's a wonderful, beautiful, intelligent woman. And she's dating, and she's so happy. She said, you know, 2 years ago, I could have never envisioned this happening. We all think it's like the end of the world, that we're not going to have a life again. But a lot of this depends on if you want one or not. And guess what? A lot of women feel happy being on their own, and that's fine too. You don't have to feel it necessary to have to run out and find somebody if you don't feel like it. I mean, if you feel good enough being on your own, I say that's great. You know, we don't have to have somebody to keep us company all the time. Not every woman wants to have another relationship. The important thing is to feel good about yourself and then decide what you want for you. And there's no quick fix for this. I mean, this is something you have to travel through the roads of going through the grieving process of learning who you are, rebuilding your life again, finding out who you could have been, and maybe going in that direction or what you lost during that period of time. It takes a lot of time to move on to the new phases of your life. And certainly took me a long time. And, you know, I found, once again, unconditional love that I never believed was possible. And even though, you know, you go through ups and downs in every relationship, whether the foundation is strong with a straight man, it's a totally different feeling than when you're with a gay man. You know, feeling that, you know, somebody loves you for who you are and wants to be with you in a sexual way, that makes a whole difference in how you feel about yourself. And that's why, you know, once again, I've seen the most beautiful women in the world who are model beautiful. You know, we have a lot of them in our group who really, when men would pass by them, they would think, wow, I'd love to have a woman like that. Unfortunately, their husbands don't want to have them. So that's why no matter how beautiful you are, you may not feel like you are a beautiful woman after a time of being rejected. Were there times in your marriage you felt that way, Erin?
Oh, absolutely. I was rejected daily by him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, but did it make you feel like less than a woman?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it makes you question. It makes you question everything. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't only affect your sexual self-esteem. It affects your self-esteem as an individual to make choices, to make decisions. You know, if I'm not good enough for, you know, there's such a, and I'm stammering here, but there's the sexual self-esteem and the self-esteem and how down-putting that they can be, because I know that there's a lot of us women that have out there that it wasn't just the sex. You know, they started putting you down in other ways. You know, I didn't do a good enough cleaning. I wasn't a good enough wife, and that gave him, you know, I wasn't a good enough mother, I wasn't a good enough lover, and that, those were just his excuses that he used because he was so broken and he was so insecure and he was searching for so many things to try to figure out why he wouldn't want an amazing woman like me, right? And I believe that there's a lot of that out there. I think that there's a lot of these straight gay men, and we know that they're out there. Mine ex is one of them. That I always say, if he could walk into a room and turn on that light switch, and one said gay and one said not gay, he would turn it off. He would turn it off, and he wouldn't be gay anymore because he really wants to be straight, but he's not straight because he was born gay and he can't do it. And so he goes out on this quest, on this search to find the most amazing women that he can find to keep him from being gay. But it doesn't change. And then he's with this woman, and then he gets really angry because he thinks that he finally found her, and this woman was not enough to keep him straight. So obviously it's the woman's fault because she wasn't enough of a woman to keep him from wanting to be gay. And I do believe that's their mindset. That's a lot of their mindset.
It is. It's because they can't internalize the blame. And once again, gay is not something to be blamed for. Gay is who you are. But they can't internalize the blame of the failure of their marriage, so they rather externalize that. And I tell my men who come to me, you know, you have no choice in being gay, but what you do with it, you do have a choice. You have the choice to be honest to your wife and tell her that the problems in the marriage are not because of her, they're because you're gay. And a gay man cannot be a straight husband, no matter how hard he tries, is never going to be. I mean, that's just the way it is. So I do agree with you. I think these guys, once again, think that you're going to fix them. If they find a wonderful woman, she's going to make them feel man enough that, you know, they're not going to have these thoughts anymore. And I even will go so far as to say I understand that. But once you keep having those thoughts and once you start acting on those thoughts, and to me, that's where I draw the line. You need to be honest and tell your wife the truth. And I think I wrote about this enough in my last newsletter. In case anybody hasn't received it, feel free to write to me at bondk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send it to you. But, you know, I'm tired of guys saying, I love my wife so much, I don't want to hurt her. Okay, like she doesn't know there's something wrong in her marriage and she's not blaming herself. Can you address that, Erin? I mean, weren't you blaming yourself?
Well, yeah, I was blaming myself because I guess in looking back, you know, I was doing things that made me feel less of a wife and less of a woman and gave him really more ammunition for continuing to do the things that he did.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think the longer, though, don't you agree the longer we stay with them, the more we validate to them that they're not gay?
Yeah.
I think that's another point that women have to understand. You know, as long as they have you as their shield.
Yeah, they're so in denial. They're so, and, you know, Jeff jumped from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship. And, you know, even this young new wife, at some point, you know, I say it's not a matter of if she finds out, it's a matter of when she finds out, and he'll move on until I keep on talking about these books that I want to write because I want to write a lot of books. I just, you know, I have them all in my head and I have a few chapters down here and there, but one of the books I want to write is called Gay on Layaway, There's No Such Thing as Bi. And I say gay on layaway because I truly believe at some point in his life, you know, when his father passes away, when he's retired, when the kids are gone and they're out of college, he's going to escape somewhere and finally live the life that he really wants to live. And
I think it's the life he's meant to live. You know, I think the problem is that so many of them are afraid to live that life because they really confuse a homosexual lifestyle with homosexual sexual feelings, and they haven't learned how to realize that, you know, what being a gay man is. You know, they're so confused, and that's why we've had guys on like Dr. Angelo Pizzuto with his book Straight Acting, and you know, other gay therapists who are coming back with us, like Brian Hooper, who's going to be back with us April 22nd, to try to have women understand what these guys are going through, and not trying to defend them at all. Just trying to have us understand so we can feel better about the situation. By the way, I just want to tell you, I had another note just come in from our friend who's a member of our support network in Canada, our friend Gail, and it says, "Dear Bonnie and Misty, please thank Erin for the courage to share her honesty and sense of humor. She is an inspiration. Hugs, Gail."
Oh, thank you.
You're very popular. We also heard from Grace, who said that she's loving the program. I'm listening to you.
Sometimes the best thing that we can do is have the ability to laugh at ourselves, right?
I guess. I'm always laughing at me. I think I'm very funny, so I guess I laugh at myself. I don't know. I guess you have to find some kind of laughter in all this. You know, it's a very serious situation, and that's why sometimes we say the funniest things in our chat rooms, and I tell people ahead of time, just be prepared. You know, sometimes we just like to laugh. Because sometimes with all, you know, tragedy, you know, laughter can only help. And we're not laughing at our situations, but sometimes there is humor in a lot of the things that we say. We're pretty funny sometimes with some of the things that we say.
I'll tell you, when Christmas comes around, you'll never look at another Chia Pet commercial and not think of me.
That's for sure, Erin. You know, I really will remember that for always. That will live in my memory. What about yours, Misty?
I think it may, absolutely. I never look at one of those the same. Every time I go to Walgreens and see one, that's what I'm going to think of.
We're going to always think of you, Erin.
You know what I did last year is I actually made a Chia Pet costume for my dog because all my girlfriends know about it. It was the funniest thing. It was for Halloween. I dressed up my dog as a Chia Pet, and everybody got a good crack on it.
I bet they did. Well, that's the wonderful thing about you. You know how to take something serious and make it serious, but you also know how to make people laugh. And that's why I think you really have so much wonderful stuff to say to women who are in our situation. And I know for the thousands of people who listen to us each week, they're going to really appreciate your comments. And they're going to be looking forward to those e-books that are coming out by you.
Okay.
You know, about... I don't know. You can have another ebook called My Chia Pet, Erin.
I could. I've got a lot of ideas. I just need to start cracking down.
So how long has your marriage been over now?
I separated in January of 2008, and I divorced on Good Friday. I call it Great Friday now, April of 2009.
Okay. And how are your daughters doing through all this? Are they aware?
It's a difficult process. We're on a week-on, week-off schedule. And, you know, they're still affected by his behavior in his home, his controlling, his manipulative, his... they're different children. They're different children when they're with me and they're with him and... You know, my next fight is to get full custody of them because they're happier and healthier and wealthier and wiser than when they're in my home as well. I will say I have a wonderful mother who's very active with the kids, and her husband is very active with the kids, and so the weeks that they're with me are wonderful, great weeks. You know, they have good times with their father. It's just a different environment. And my oldest daughter is great, is doing very, very well because we just have this amazing relationship that we can talk about anything. My youngest daughter I'm a little fearful of because she's such a scared child in that environment. And then when she comes back to my home, she is, she's rebellious on the other side. So I would love youngest to find some sort of middle ground because she's fighting to keep her personality, and that's a hard thing. But they are much better off than they would have been if I would have stayed in that relationship with him because – then we all would have been in that place together. That now, half the time at least, they're in a positive, healthy, happy environment.
Well, I think that's the key to it. When so many women are afraid to leave their marriages because they're going to, because they say, well, I guess I'm going to have to sit here because it's not fair to my children. I say it's not fair to your children when you're sitting there. You know, the children know people are unhappy, and it really affects the whole family dynamics. Children need to have role models to show them what marriage should be, not what it shouldn't be. And, you know, the longer you sit and languish there, you know, the less effective you can be as a mother because you're not happy yourself. So I agree with you that even though it's not the ideal situation to go from one home to another home and back and forth, you know, children can adjust to that. But it's really hard adjusting when you're living, as Misty says, in a circle of crazy. Wouldn't you say so, Misty?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're in the circle of crazy, nothing's expected. You don't know, it's chaotic. You don't know what's to be expected, what's around the turn, what's around the corner. You just don't know, and you keep trying to dance to accommodate the chaoticness coming up in your life. Nothing's expected, and it's very, very difficult circumstances to live in under those conditions. And at least being apart, knowing, you know, they're going to be 1 week somewhere and another, you know, the next week with you, I agree with that. It gives them some stability of what to expect, and they, you know, can see that and hopefully work towards something better with you. That would be wonderful. But when you're dancing inside that circle of crazy, you just never know what to expect. And everyone feels the emotional tug and the pain from that, I believe, including children.
So that's why I do feel that no matter how, you know, disruptive it may be going from one household to another, at least there's balance. I mean, I can't imagine
Absolutely. Children
having to you unhappy, seeing him unhappy, they're unhappy, and as you said, Erin, then everybody's unhappy, right?
Yeah.
So hopefully your girls will grow up with a good image of what married life's supposed to be.
My oldest daughter actually wants to go into law, and she wants to legalize gay marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think says about...
I think they have any idea or inkling that their dad is gay?
Mia knows about it. Kira, we haven't had that conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
But Mia knows, and Mia's fortunately, as our generations, you know, I think we're getting smarter and, you know, we're more tolerant. And tolerant is such a horrible word to use because it's like we have to tolerate it, which I don't think is a great word to use. So I will just say, not even accepting, we're just, more honest about, you know what, this is the way people are born to be and that we understand it. And she's got lots of gay friends, and she has no embarrassment. And prior to, you know, us being published in your book, I actually had a conversation with her because we used our names, and I wanted to make sure she wasn't embarrassed about it, and she's not embarrassed about it. And she has friends that she's talked to about it, that she's had conversations, and she doesn't have any... In terms of her father being gay, there's no stigma, you know, she's not embarrassed. She's, you know, she's upset with him that he can't be, you know, who he is, you know, and she's even said, you know, Mom, isn't it kind of funny that I want to go into law to legalize gay marriage, so at some point in the future, maybe people like me wouldn't be born. I just thought that was funny that she would, you know, conceptualize it that way, but... Still wanting, you know, but she sees the pain, you know, that it's caused, and she knows that it's not right. And
Erin, did he ever actually say to you, "Yes, it's true"?
The most that he ever said is, "Maybe I'm bi."
Okay.
And he would never come out. I truly believe to this day he doesn't believe that he's gay. Again, he got married again. You know, he just had another child. All of those serve to validate his belief that he's not gay. And he struggles with that daily. I do know that he's had relationships and conversations with other men in his life where he's cried to them about not being able to be who he wants to be. But he hasn't had the ability to say that to me.
Well, I think that's the most of a confession you can get. Because, again, these guys just don't get it.
And, you know, at this point in our relationship and at this point in my life, I don't need that confession from him anymore. I don't need that. I'm to a point now, I just know what I know. And regardless of what he says, or regardless of who he marries, or how many children that he has, or whatever excuse he wants to have, I just know. I just know. And that's fine. And I don't need anything more from him. I don't need to see. I don't need to keylog his computer to see what he's doing. I don't need to see his passwords to find out who he's meeting with. I don't need any more proof, any more ammunition to make me feel like I have power on him or make me believe. I know. And it's a very validating and it's a very empowering and happy feeling. I just know. I don't have to question it anymore. I just know. And it's a good place to be. And I hope those of you that aren't at that place find a way, you know, know that there's a future when you don't have to worry about that. You just know.
By the way, I have one final comment from Debbie for you. And she said, I think a huge part of my husband's anger is because he thinks I failed to be who I needed to be to make him straight and happy.
Yep.
It was why so early in our marriage it all stopped working for him and he began making me feel that I was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I was a normal woman with needs to be touched, made love to, and listened to. But to him, that was too much to deal with, so he began to resent me for being a normal woman. Before we got married, the stresses weren't there because it was just dating and fun.
Yep.
And I think that's so true. You know, it's easy to have fun when you're not now confined into a marriage.
Absolutely.
But these guys are waiting for us to fix them, you know, because they're broken. And we can't fix them. You know, they're gay, and they just have to learn to accept this and deal with it. And I know it's so hard. That's why we have people coming on here, you know, from the gay community and explaining it. And I think all of us understand that. But it doesn't mean that we have to be taken in with it. And that's, you know, how we feel. So, Erin, we're going to tell you, you were such a wonderful guest. Wasn't she, Misty?
Absolutely. So, you know, you've said so many things that I know have just helped so many women tonight. You know, your story has really touched a lot and helped a lot. You know, all the stories, when you sit and listen to these, can be very healing when you piece them together and pull from it what you need as a straight wife, because there's validation in knowing that someone else has gone through this, survived, and not only survived, but thrived. So it's just wonderful having guests like you on here. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you giving me a voice.
Well, thank you so much, and I hope you'll consider coming on in a few months and being our guest again, Erin.
I would be happy to. Just let me know.
And inspiring women and making us laugh all at the same time, which is not an easy combination, for sure.
I'll just leave you with this, and I sent you this link, and not everybody have it, but it's a picture of a woman holding up a book, and it says, sometimes just the act of sharing a painful secret can relieve some of the pain, and I just love that. So,
yeah, that was really a very powerful message, as so many of your other messages are. And for all of us who had the pleasure of meeting you in Texas, you know, everyone was just so impressed with you and well by your generosity and your compassion and your sense of humor. You are really a very special woman, Erin, and we really appreciate it. And we appreciate the fact that you recognize how special all the women were that were there. As all of our straight wives are, I think we are all exceptional women, and I think that's why we're chosen on some level by these men, because they know how wonderful we are, and hopefully we'll be able to fix whatever problems they have, which we can't. But anyway, we'll be happy to have you back later in the spring, and thank you so much again for being part of our show.
Thank you so much.
Any final words you would like to say?
No.
You've said them all?
Thank you very much.
All right, Misty, I hope you have a wonderful week and feel much better. I hope
thank
everybody
you.
Listening has a wonderful week. And we'd like to thank you for listening to our show, and we'll be back here next Sunday night. Misty, you want to say love to everybody?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good night and love to all.
All right. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.